Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 173, part one, Who is Willing to Go? Are you? Today is Friday, November 12th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, and I'm sitting in the rabbi's office right now at Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Right now, I can hear some bags rustling. We are filling them with food. If you need food and you live in North Minneapolis, you live in South Minneapolis, you live in East Minneapolis, West Minneapolis, you live in the state of Minnesota, come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. If you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, come call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and get your household registered for groceries. We have got a lot of food and we have a lot to give away, so don't be shy. Give us a call. And for those of you who are not in Minnesota and you're listening to this podcast, be sure to join our online community. A lot will be happening there in the future, but for right now, just go to the top of the homepage. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. And don't forget Twitter. Sounds little, but it's big. Twitter. Follow the Twitter Rumble, generally on Thursday, where I do live tweets when I'm actually recording Pastor Paul's messages. So don't forget Twitter Rumble on. Why do we call it the Twitter Rumble on Thursday? Why? Because we're in the middle of a rumble. Can you hear that phone ringing? All right, we're already getting calls for Pastor Paul's. People want to register, but call back at 1 o'clock. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, give a testimony. If you want to do all that at the blog, go ahead. We'll be interested in reading it. You can also email me, but I wouldn't. I've got way too many emails. Better yet, just call me on the phone, 612-521-4665. I'd love to hear your voice. Okay, don't send me an email. Call me on the phone. Or start a podcast. It's fun. All right. Hey, I am psyched. I'm in the rabbi's office. How can't you be excited about that? Speaking of the rabbi, also scripture links within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to check those out. Now, this is the November introduction. I almost forgot. This is the November introduction. Let me get my tapes. Hang on a minute. I'm in the rabbi's office at the rabbi's desk. I'm taking over, people. Okay, here we go. Hang on. I have to take the rubber band off of all these tapes I have for the month of November. Okay. And, you know, if you come to the podcast, you know, you can just actually go through this message. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. Okay, but here it is. Who is willing to go? That's next week's message. Learning to be content. Oh, learning to be content. I've been going to so many things, talking and listening about content. I get the two mixed up sometimes. Be content or be content. Well, I guess that's what we are right now. We're being content. Okay. We that know the Lord. I wonder if there's some we that know the Lord. Okay, well, that's the next one. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay, I'm kind of thinking on all of these. Let me go back again. You know, I am kind of a slow reader, but I'm trying to I'm trying to kind of take this in. Okay, let me try it again. Now, keep in mind, this is not a radio broadcast. It's a podcast. Okay, so I don't have to do a perfect job. All right, here we go. This is the November announcement. I'm your hostess for the mostess. I already said that. Okay. Who is willing to go? That's a good one. I know that's going to be good. Who is willing to go? I am. Okay, I know you're holding up your hands right now. The next one, learning to be content. That I know is going to be a good one because that is hard for all of us, especially me. Learning to be content, not content. We that know the Lord. Now that one, we that know the Lord. I get it. We that know the Lord. Okay. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay. Those are them. Those are November's podcast coming up. And be sure to listen both on Friday night and on Sunday. We're kind of doing the same thing that we did with Pastor Paul in church. You know, every Friday night we came in and listened to a message that was always so cool because it was at night and we came in and listened. There usually weren't hardly any people here, very few people, the die-hard people that wanted to hear the message. Okay, so you've got to hear that. That is part one. Part two is on Sunday. A lot more people come on Sunday. You know, everybody kind of goes to Sunday school, the church thing. But I want you, my die-hard podcast listeners, I want you to listen to part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. Promise me. Scout's honor. God bless you. Have a great month of November. Have an excellent Thanksgiving. And if you need food, give us a call. Bye.
And tonight's message is entitled, Who is Willing to Go? Who is willing to go? And let's look at the spiritual want ads tonight. Your God has wants and your God has a need. And look here in this spiritual want ad, there's a job here in bold print, messengers wanted. Before it says you send in your resume, please read Isaiah 6 and 8. And it says like this, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I remember saying that. Here I am, send me. And here we have a remedy for man's ruin. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. A complete cure from death to life. But in order for it to work in man, man must receive it by faith. I think we need to get back to the basics. There's so many people being lost because we're so puffed up in our knowledge. I think that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so then how can they have faith if they don't hear the Word of God? The Bible says, But how will they hear without a preacher? And so messengers are needed. Will you go? And so the same question tonight I'm asking you, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What good is the unspoken word? What good is it to have the word richly dwelling in you and not giving it out? That'd be like a salesman that has a vacuum cleaner and goes up to the door, goes inside, plugs the thing in, sweeps the floor, cleans the whole house, doesn't say anything, and walks out. And these people up in the Ozarks had never seen anything like that before. And they're, well, What happened? What's this all about? And listen, tonight Jesus' wounds, they speak to us, his wounds. How shall we be rewarded, they're saying? Who will know the benefits of these wounds and these stripes? And his blood cries out, who shall I send? And his wounds, I believe, repeat the question, who will go for us? The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. And so here we have the remedy to make man to remedy for man's ills. But who will know if the gospel is not preached? If we go on our bread runs and we go on our different grocery runs and we go all over and we don't preach the Word of God, the salvation message of Jesus Christ. And we had a track here, and it said at the very top of the track, it's a love track. I love you, it said at the top. And another ministry borrowed the track, and at the top they crossed out, I love you, and they said, repent! Well, I thought to myself, John came preaching in the wilderness the message of repentance, but one came after that his shoes were not. He says, I'm not even worthy to latch your shoes, Lord. But I bring the message of love and forgiveness and power. I bring that. I am the God of repentance. Oh, what a beautiful message the gospel message is. If it's truly grasped. But how are we to do with this message? Hide it on a shelf? While souls perish all over? No, we need messengers. We need people that are bold in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need field hands now to bring in the sheaves. You remember that song, Bringing in the Sheaves? Remember that old show they had? I think it was Grapes of Wrath or something like that. And this guy started singing, Bringing in the Sheaves, and the whole town started singing, Bringing in the Sheaves. I've ministered here before, but I started whistling that at work one time, Bringing in the Sheaves. And before the day was out, everybody was humming and whistling, Bringing in the Sheaves, didn't even know what they were doing. But see, our witness is very important. How we stand in a time of trial, in a time of tribulation, is very important right now. My ministry down here is on the line. How I stand, how we stand, is very important. Bringing in the souls, let's say. So first, let's look at the person wanted. And secondly, about the persons offering themselves. And thirdly, the work which they would be called to. So then number one, the person wanted, as described in the questions, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? What a question. The person wanted, we see from 2 points here, his character bears, I believe, 2 aspects. A divine side, whom shall I send? And then the human aspect, who will go for us? But then the two meet, the human and the divine side unite in these last words, for us. Hallelujah. Here is a man, nothing more, but clad through divine grace with superhuman, even with divine authority. And so let's look at this two-sided person. He is divinely chosen, don't you see? Whom shall I send? And people have often chosen to bring forth fruit unto his name. We have been chosen. Jesus said, I have chosen you. And listen to what he says. Here's the question. Here's the exposition of the question. Ye have not chosen me. Don't get puffed up. But I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. God first chose you. You remember when God chose you, Marguerite? In Chicago? I remember when God chose me in California. I remember God working on my whole heart way before that. Even when I was 8 years old at home, even in the little Methodist church out there. And still I know that God has chosen me. Ye have not chosen me. Jesus is saying, don't get puffed up. You didn't choose to follow me. No, you didn't. But I have chosen you and I have ordained you. Now, Let me tell you something here, radio audience and people listening. If God has chosen a man or a woman and has chosen them and ordained them, don't monkey with them. Say amen, somebody. God has ordained them for our work, and he says, go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And by the way, you can trace every single mercy to the foundation of election. Your streamlets, in other words, were directed to my great flow. God directed your life towards his great flow. You didn't have a thing to do with it. God first loved you. All the workers for the living God are people chosen by the Most High. He sends whom he wills. Well, God, how come you sent her, sent him? Why didn't you send me? I chose to. Before the foundation of the world was even founded, I chose to send that person. And don't you argue with David. And don't you argue with Samson. And don't you argue with the demon out there and the tombs out there. Don't you go ahead with this. Don't you do it. I'm telling you right now, I have chosen these people. They are a chosen race. They are a chosen preacher. They are a chosen evangelist. They are chosen listeners. They are chosen. I have chosen them, and I will send whom I will. May I not do as I will with my own? How many are hearing this? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now this indicates to me a person that's cheerfully willing. Are you cheerfully willing? Well, yeah, I'm cheerful. No, you're not cheerfully willing until God has made you willing. Was I always willing? No. God made me willing. If I wasn't willing, and if I wasn't cheerfully willing, I wouldn't be down here. Now get that in your heads, people listening on the radio. I am cheerfully willing to be here. How many are cheerfully willing to be here? Well, do you know that you're cheerfully willing to be here? You know how you can tell that? You're not griping. You're not complaining. You're not finding fault. You're not trying to run out the door. But you are cheerfully willing. Are you hearing this? Marge, are you cheerfully willing? Would you go through the whole of your life if God hadn't made you willing? What made you stand in Christ all of those years? God made you willing to stand in that afflicted time. God made you willing. It's nothing we can boast about. Oh, I've always been willing. No, God. Whoa, there's a need out there, and God asks, who will go? Now, we're not talking about machines, and we're not talking about slaves. God isn't going to go against your will, and people tell me, God won't go against your will. But he has a way of changing your will, doesn't he? Doesn't he have a way of changing our will? Man is saved by the will of God, but man is made willing to be saved. Did you mean that someone just ministered and I came up to the altars and I got saved? No, I was made willing. I was melted in my heart. The Holy Spirit drew me in, and no man is saved but the Holy Spirit draw them in. How many are hearing this? Preacher, if you're listening on the radio today or to this tape and you are a legalistic preacher, let me tell you one thing. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that makes man willing to do anything, and he makes them willing to be saved, and he makes them willing to be drawn in. How many are hearing this? Are you willing? Well, I thank God I believe many, many things. And I am so weary and sick of arguing and understanding and trying to understand things that people come in their doctrine and the misunderstandings. I want to believe like a child. The Bible says, unless you come like a child. Today I was down in the mission. I thought, oh my God, if we could only be like these little children down here. All these little children that run with their arms outstretched for a hug and a kiss. If we could only be that trusting. And I thought, now here's an opportunity for a parable to come forth. And I said, I'll just give this word out. And I says, people, listen, look at this little one wrapping your arms around me. Oh, if we could be like this, all of our troubles, we trust one another. Oh, and they said, that's right, if we could only come as little children. Well, unless you come as little children, you're no ways make it to the kingdom of heaven. come. There's all kinds of opportunities to minister to people. Are you hearing? Like a child. And I think I'm going to start to believe more and more like a child and let the others drive themselves and busloads of like themselves nuts. Believe like a child. Believe in the Word of God. Say, Lord, I want to go on with you. Now then, there's a matter of holy work. Every man becomes a worker that wants to. And how do they want to? God makes them willing. I watched a person be made willing downstairs. He was washing dishes down there. Oh, he wasn't willing. Oh, he was griping and he was complaining and he was carrying on. And all of a sudden, have you noticed a change in him? What's happened? He has been made willing. And he's cheerfully so. Now all of his dishes are done on time. His floor is all clean. His face is shining. What made him willing? God made him willing. Whew. Are you hearing this? God is never going to fill a person up that isn't emptied. And God is emptying people right now. Are you empty? Oh, and God will fill you. But if there's a little bit of you inside of there, God can't fill you. God right now wants to fill you, but first you have to be emptied. But think of it. God is here right now. I am here, he says. I am here. Did you believe God is here tonight? Well, if you believe God is here, he is here. How many are hearing this word tonight? You got to believe that God is. Oh, in some of my times, in some of these perilous times that I've suffered down here on the north side for these 7 years, let me preach it from my heart tonight. And when I've sought out the Lord and I said, Lord, are you here? It's in those times of affliction and in those times of trouble when I've cried out to the Lord that the Lord has answered. He says, call on me in the time of trouble and I will answer. And you know something? I'm thankful for the trials and the tribulations because it gives me an opportunity to cry out to the Lord. Say amen, somebody. And at those particular times, I am the most close with the Lord. Do you want to get close to Jesus? Get in the battle. Get in the pitch of the fight. Get yourself in service. Get yourself to work and get to witnessing. Get to coming to the mission down here. Start to do things in Jesus Christ and see God open up. And you know, when you start to work for the Lord, it seems like the devil works overtime. And the more you get into Jesus, the more the devil goes to work. But then the Lord says, I will raise up a standard against him. How many are hearing this? Say amen, somebody. Oh, Marge, I'm glad you're here. Your brother's going through a hard time here. And there's all kinds of people out there who want to see this thing go down, sister. Say amen, somebody. And why is that? I can't figure it out myself. I only know this, that the grace of God is keeping me going. And if you're listening to me and you're one of them squandering kind of fault-finding freaks, well, then go ahead and find fault because God has given me a word today. This work is going to go on. My God, it's going to go on. Are you hearing it? And woe, it says, be to the person that doesn't want it to go on. But also I see here he gave himself unreservedly. Some time back, I gave myself unreservedly to this work. And ever since I gave myself unreservedly to this work, I have seen the most hideous people that call themselves Christians watching for this thing to go down. I want to tell you something. Sisters and brothers, give up. It ain't going to go down. Say amen. Give up on me. It ain't going to go down. Are you hearing this? Will not go down. Say amen, somebody. It didn't become the largest ministry in the United States and grocery bag given out for nothing, and it's going to continue on because God is behind it, and woe be to the person that gets in the middle of that thing. Thus saith the Lord. Are you hearing this word today? Come on. Are you mad, preacher? I am mad. Yeah. Say amen, somebody. You thought you were going to hear a sweet little message? Well, it is a sweet little message. It's a sweet to Jesus' ears, not to the flesh. Glory to God. Go lay down someplace and go to sleep, but I'm going to go on with God. But send me, Lord. Well, you say, where to? Well, I didn't say. Jesus said, ask the question. Don't say where you're going to go. When I said, send me to the north side. Lord, send me, but don't send me past 85th out there in Brooklyn Park. Lord, I don't want to go past the river over that way, and I don't want to go past out that way, but Lord, send me within these boundaries. No. Uh-uh. He sent me down here. Ooh, are you hearing this? Whoa! Here, we are sent to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Psalm 20:7. Send thee help from thy sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now you have to get scriptural if you want to make it in ministry. You got to cry out to your own soul. And you got to talk to your own soul. And you have to say, now there's a lot of times nobody wants to encourage you. Did you know that? There's a lot of times no one wants to encourage you. Now, last week, I asked the radio audience, and there's a lot of them. It's the most listened to program in the Minneapolis area. Okay. And I asked them to send me $1, each one that was listening. Do you know how much money I got? Nothing. But call upon the name of the Lord in a time of trouble. Someone that didn't even know about us or even know about the radio sent some money. How do you like that? How much? None of your business. I'm talking to the radio audience. None of your business. Send a dollar in and I'll send you a slip. How much we got? It's a lot, too. How much? None of your business. Send the help from the sanctuary. You ain't going to get it from no place else. Are you? Your help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. I got so much food down. We have so much food. Jesus has sent us so much food downstairs, we don't know where to put it all. We went through 600,000 pounds of potatoes in about 3 weeks. That is over 500,000 pounds in just potatoes. I ain't talking about the other trimmings. Say amen, somebody. Food coming out, the freezers are busting, the coolers are full, the warehouses are full, and there's corn in Egypt. Say amen, somebody. A guy called up today and he said, listen, we have one of these real fancy computers. We put your name in a hat and we drew your name out of a hat and your name was drawn and we got one of these real fancy IBM, copier machines. Would you care to have one? Well, I said, you drew my name out, didn't you? Send it over here immediately, if not sooner. What a stupid question. You know, tonight, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. How did he get there? By being obedient unto death. Sometimes, when you want to be obedient to God, and God has made you willing to serve in the time of trouble, in the time of adversity, you say, Lord, have you ever wished that? Could I go tonight? You ever wish that, Marge? Send me to heaven. Get me out of here. Huh? No, I'm not talking suicide. I'm talking I want out of here. Oh, man, sometimes you look at some of them puffy-lipped, mean-looking, beady-eyed little Christians sitting down in some of them seats, you say, my God, send me! Well, the Bible says provoke one another to good works, doesn't it? I'm provoking tonight. Say amen, somebody. And finally, in Psalm 43:3, and it says like this, oh, send out thy light and truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Oh, send out thy light and truth, it says. Send out your salvation. And it also means send out thy continued direction. Oh, hey, without the Lord directing us, we are lost. Without the Lord Jesus Christ guiding us every step of the way, we are totally lost. Oh, that's why you have to come as a child, and that's why you have to say, Lord, when you wake up in the morning, you know what? People is evil when they wake up in the morning. Oh, God. You know what I mean? The babies are nice and they're cute when they're sleeping. When they wake up, that's when you get into trouble with them, you know? And so here they are, these people, they open up their eyes. Oh, man. Oh. Pray before you even get out of bed. God, give me direction today. Did you hear that? More and more, I'm finding myself praying for the direction of God by the minute. You need it to get around all the layers and traps and things that are set by the devil. Say amen. Send out thy light and thy truth. Reveal my true character. Whew. You know, by light, you'll get your character looked at real good. Did you know that? You know what the light is? A lot of times the light is the Word of God. You give out the Word of God and that light shines on us. And it tells us just what kind of character that we are. Say, no, I can, today I can minister to people, I don't care where they come from. And that's why the Lord's Prayer is so great. Our Father, plural. What I mean, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the measure that you forgive someone else is the measure that you'll be forgiven. Are you a 92%er? Well, then you're only forgiven in areas of your life in 92%. Are you a 50%er or a 47.5%? Oh, God. The Lord has richly blessed us with what? Forgiveness. And that's what you have to give out. Say amen, somebody. Now listen. God's light without the filter would burn each one of us up. Say amen, somebody. Oh, that light, it just comes in little rays, you know what I mean? It reveals you a little bit at a time. Oh, God. Let them lead me, it says. What does that mean? That means the light and the truth. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Did you ever notice the more trouble David got in, the more that he desired God? Did you ever notice that? When he really got into trouble, he desired God. I have found myself in the last 9 months, seeking God with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul. And you know where his light shines out of? Out of the darkness. Well, you say, I'm in a dark time in my life? Well, that's good. Because that's where his light shines out. So anyway, messengers wanted, the ad says, and who will say, here, send me. I'll give up all my self-rights. I'll give up all of my arguments. I will be willing to stand in your light and your truth for the burn-off. Psalm 57:7 says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I read that and I thought, you know what? My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed, it says. I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed. It's not fickle. My heart is fixed. It's not fluttering with little love notes. No. But it's got a calm. It has a resolute. It has a firm. It has a happy. It has an established fixedness about it. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed to do this work. My heart is fixed, oh Lord. Isn't that good when your heart is fixed? Well, don't you want to have your heart fixed? You want to walk around with a bum ticker? Yeah. when that central axle is secure, the whole wheel is aright. My heart is fixed. You know where the fitness of duty lies. That means your heart is fixed. When you're full and when you're able, your heart is fixed. Now, hey, with a fixed heart, nobody can mess with you. Your heart is fixed. It has been made willing in the time of affliction. And then the man is made willing when his heart is fixed. I am so dangerously fixed on what I'm doing. Hear me? I am so resolute. I am so firm a heart in what I am doing. My heart is fixed. Oh my God, my heart is fixed. Praise God, it's fixed. It was a mess, but it's fixed. It's fixed on doing a work. And you know, it says there that my heart is fixed and I will sing and give praise. Well, with a heart fixed, you can sing to the Lord. And it doesn't matter the situation. And it doesn't matter the circumstance. You remember you used to write me them letters all the time? In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You don't remember that, do you? You wrote that to me about 40 years ago. No, not 40 years ago, 35 years ago. You remember that? You'd write me a whole pages of scripture and everything, and I thought, oh God, why don't you say something that I'm interested in? You know what was wrong with me? My heart wasn't fixed. What was wrong with me was, Marge, my heart wasn't fixed. Marge, my heart is fixed on doing this work down here. I mean, it's so fixed on doing this work down here that I'm ready to die for the work I'm doing down here. You know what I'm talking about? Ready to die to see the thing done. And you know something? I'm seeing victory. Praise the Lord. I am seeing victory in my own life.